Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 31 of season 2. This week we are studying Acts chapters 16 through 21. In last week's reading, we studied the vision of Peter and the unclean beasts, which was actually turned out to be a commandment for the gospel to be preached to all the world, not just the house of Israel. And this event essentially kicks off a huge missionary effort, including travel far and wide to teach about Jesus Christ and his church. The converted Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, becomes one of the most successful and diligent missionaries of this dispensation. And these chapters that we're reading this week describe the beginnings of some of his missionary efforts and also detail some of the challenges that he faced along the way. So Paul and his companions, after repenting and choosing to follow the Savior, are sent off to preach the gospel. So let's read about some of their experiences that they had consequent to their obedient and selfless sacrifice. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Let's read Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 8. And he, Paul, went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And also in Acts chapter 21, starting in verse 30. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. And the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him." So Paul is simply following the Lord's invitation to preach the gospel along with his associates. And I'm sure they had good days and a lot of success, and the scriptures bear that out. But he also had very dark and dangerous days. As these scriptures that we just read talk about, Paul was rejected, he was beaten, he was imprisoned, and calls were made for his execution. So this begs the question, why would this happen? If Paul is just trying to do what's right, he's just literally following the Lord's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, why would the Lord allow him to go through these trials, especially when he's trying to do what's right? Sometimes in the gospel, we have a mistaken belief that if we do things just right, then we won't encounter any major problems. I think this is largely a cultural belief. I haven't found this taught anywhere in scripture. I haven't found it taught by leaders of the church. But we just kind of make that assumption. If I just do everything right, then I'm going to avoid big challenges. But if you study the lives of many faithful women and men in the scriptures, you find that this just isn't true. Adversity seems to be a natural part of our life and also seems to be important in terms of us learning to become like the Savior. Now, the mental health application is this: if we have mistaken beliefs about things, then we are going to react in ways that are not as emotionally healthy as they could be. And in psychology and mental health, we call this cognitive theory. And this is the idea that what you believe or think about something is going to influence the way you feel about it. So if you have an incorrect belief about something, then your feeling or emotion about that thing is likely to be skewed in some way. So if we believe that obedience will never yield trials, that if you're obedient, that everything's going to go fine. And then if you face trials after being obedient, you're likely to feel betrayed. And this could lead to becoming disillusioned with gospel truth. Because you think, hey, if I'm doing everything right, then I shouldn't have these trials. But that reaction is based on an incorrect belief. A more accurate belief would say something like this: obedience may yield trials at times, even significant trials, but will eventually lead to greater peace and happiness. Now consider if you had that belief instead of the belief that difficulties only arise from sinful behavior. If you had that more accurate belief, then when trials and difficulties do come, even despite your obedience, you're not likely to lose hope, but you'll have feelings of understanding and faith that things will improve eventually. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland taught the following: there is something at work in suffering that is exalting. Now, that is not news anybody particularly wants to hear today, but I think somehow it must be doctrinal. That suffering is exalting. I don't know whether that is because it makes us more patient with others. Does it make us more sympathetic with other people who have got troubles? Is it part of the expanding of our heart to where we're not smug and we're not self-centered and we're not trivial? I don't know. I think it's probably all of that. I think it's probably all of that, maybe, and more. But it is impossible to read the life of the Savior without coming to the conclusion that suffering is somehow preparatory to exaltation. Now, there are many other scriptures and words of modern prophets that confirm this same truth, that going through a certain amount of suffering is going to help us become like Jesus Christ. And we don't have to look any further than the life of Jesus Christ. He never committed a single sin, yet had many trials and difficulties, including the greatest suffering that any person has ever experienced. Faithfully walking the covenant path is no guarantee that we will avoid trials. And conversely, if just because someone else is having trials, there is no reason to assume that they are not keeping their covenants. I think that is an extremely faulty assumption, and we need to try to root that out from our lives. The sooner we correct any incorrect notions about this idea, the sooner we understand that obedience may lead to difficulties at times, the sooner we appreciate that although obedience yields blessings, some of those blessings don't come until much later, the sooner we're going to experience greater peace and happiness, even in the middle of our trials. I always end my podcast episodes with an invitation to act, because I think doing something about our circumstance is the best way to change. If you don't do anything, change is very unlikely to happen. And I just invite you to give some prayerful consideration to these invitations. If it seems like something that you should do in your life, then I invite you to do it. So this week's is the following. I want you to think about one of your favorite characters in Scripture, and then study about their life, see if you can find evidence of times that they had difficulties even though they were being obedient, and then answer the question, how can adversity help us become more like our Savior Jesus Christ? I have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement these weekly invitations, and to find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter. You can find that link in the show notes. Also, please subscribe so you can easily access new episodes each week. And please share this podcast with anyone you think it might benefit their life. I also have written transcripts of the podcast, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thank you for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.